know, I can't remember it exactly when, but I know He just laid a thought in my heart and began to stay with me and began to stick with me. And He began to deal with me on this yesterday evening. He began to deal with me some more. And I said, well, this is what the Lord wants us to preach on today. Amen. And I tell you, we know the Lord's got to be in control. Amen. But beginning in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 9, it says, when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You today, Jesus, for Your holy word. We thank You for Your wonderful spirit that we feel here today. And we ask, Lord, that Your mighty hand will be upon us and that Your will is going to be done. I pray today, Lord, that You would anoint me to speak Your wonderful word, that You would anoint their ears to receive it. And Lord, we bind any hindering spirit. We plead Your blood. Let me say nothing more, nothing less than what You'd have me to say today. And I know if anything's going to become of the remainder of this service, it's not because of any flesh, but it's because of You today. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that no one will leave the way they come, but let them leave, Lord, with a stirring, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Jesus, that we'll open our hearts up today in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought the Lord laid in my heart was this. Are you a gazer or are you a praiser? Amen. Which one are you today? Which one are you? Are you just a gazer? Those that just gaze, those that just look, or are you one that praises today? Amen. I feel like when these angels talked to the people that were standing by there, when Jesus was being taken up into heaven, He said this right here. He said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I feel like that was a rebuke to them. I feel like it was a rebuke because of one thing. I feel like that they seen when Jesus was being taken up into heaven, that they seen all their hope being taken away. They seen all their encouragement being taken away. They seen all their healing being taken away. They seen all that they thought there was being taken away. And church, if we're not careful, you and I will get to the spiritual point that we simply become a gazer. Amen. All we want to do is gaze in and look and see what's happening spiritually. All we want to do is gaze in and see if things are still taking place in God's house. But I'm telling you, church, we got to be more than a gazer. We got to be one that's a praiser today, that lifts up Jesus Christ, that cries out and tells Him that we love Him today. Church, these men stood there and they seen all their hope, Brother Doug, being taken up right before their eyes. That's why I feel like this was a rebuke. Why stand ye here gazing? Amen. In other words, why stand you here thinking that there's no longer going to be no healing? Why stand you here thinking that there's no longer going to be no deliverance? Why stand you here gazing thinking there's no longer going to be encouragement? But church, let me tell you what. He said this same Jesus, He's going to return in like manner. So let me tell you, I'm bringing good news this morning that you don't have to hang it all up and put things in order and say, listen, He's not going to come back because He is coming back. And He's coming back for those that are looking for Him. Amen. Not those that gaze. Amen. How many can remember when you was in school and you daydreamed? Pick up both feet. Amen. Well, I've done a lot of that. Amen. I tell you, history, I love history, but I just couldn't keep my head up for nothing in the world. Amen. But you know, I can look straight at that teacher and look her right in the eye. And she'd probably look at me and never blink an eye, and I'd be all fishing or hunting somewhere. Amen. I was there, but I wasn't there. I mean, just look like this right here. And my mind was anywhere but in that classroom. What had happened? I was gazing. I was looking out there at something I wanted to do and somewhere I wanted to be. And I tell you, church, it's spiritually, if we're not careful, we'll come to God's house and we'll look somewhere that we want to be that we're not there. We'll gaze out there somewhere we think we ought to be. But when we still keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you're in this house today. This is a house of worship today. And I'm telling you, we've got to worship Him in spirit and truth. We cannot afford to be gazing about that world and looking at that world and having a desire to be in that world. We got to be thinking about Jesus today. We got to have our minds made up. We got to have our minds made up. Why? Because it's very easy to become a gazer this morning. One that gazes. Amen. This is in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Now we see the difference in the gaugers and the praisers. These were in trouble. They were in a jail cell. They were bound. They were locked up. But yet they began to sing praises unto God. What happened? They became an earthquake. It began to shake the very foundation. What happened? The band began to fall off of their arms. Why? Because, church, they wasn't a-gazing about how it would be out there if they could get out of that prison. They wasn't thinking about how it would be sitting at the supper table. They wasn't thinking about how it would be if I just slept and laid in bed a few more hours. They were thinking about praising God. And you know what happens, Brother Steve? When you begin to praise God, the band begin to fall off. I'm telling you, we got to get things in order. We got to quit gazing about how it's going to be and start praising for what it's going to be. Amen. Because, church, you see the difference here. These men, as they watched Jesus go, they thought all hope was leaving him, or them angels wouldn't have rebuked him. Why stand you here, Gaze? Paul and Silas were praising the Lord, even though they were locked up in prison. And the deliverance came. The help come. Oh, church, let me tell you today, we find ourselves so many times when sickness comes knocking in our door. Amen. We start gazing about how it's going to be out there, how it used to be. But I'm telling you, Sister Al, it's time that we get back to praising the Lord and let the band begin to fall off our heart, because that devil will keep you in a spiritual prison. He'll lock you up and you'll be satisfied as long as you can think about how it used to be. But I'm telling you, I'm not living in a used-to-be world. I'm living today, because today is a day of salvation. I got to praise Him today. I got to not worry about the past as much. I got to worry about the future. Amen. Because today is the day of salvation. Amen. Amen. We can stand there and we can gaze. We can look. We can think. We can wonder in our minds. Oh, if it just would hit this way. If it would just happen this way. If it would just happen this way. But you know what? Brother Carl, we can do something about it. You know how we do that, Uncle James? We start praising the Lord. Amen. We start praising the Lord. Amen. We start praising the Lord. If you don't praise Him, when the praises go up, that glory comes down. Amen. When that heart is at that point that it says, Jesus, I need You. I want You. I am hungry. I need a revival. I need a stirring. I'm telling you, I need this. I need that. Then the glory will come down. But if you'll sit back and think about how it used to be, I'm telling you, we're fighting a battle today. That battle I fought yesterday is done behind me. There's a new one coming tomorrow, and I got to be ready to fight it. Amen. I can't afford to be a gazer that just stands and just looks. Amen. That's why I made such good grades in school. It'll tell on you. It'll tell on you. Listen here. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. It said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured great flights of affliction. Partly, which ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and affliction, and partly which ye became companions of them that were so used. I tell you today that word gazing, if you live like you're supposed to live, if you stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ and you declare that word and you live by that word, you're going to be one that gets gazed at. You're going to become a gazing stock. You're going to become one that is illuminated, that world is trying to poke at. It's trying to probe. It's trying to find some kind of dirt, some kind of filth, something that can drag you down. Church, you must realize that is going to happen. Amen. Them that live Christ-like shall suffer persecution. I'm not telling you that every day you get up that somebody's going to spit on your face. No, sir, I'm not telling you. But I'm telling you, somebody's going to be watching you, and somebody's going to try to drag some kind of dirt out on you. But let me tell you what there. Let them drag. Let them probe. Let them do whatever they want. As long as Jesus is shining in my heart, that's what matters today. And I'm telling you, church, if you're a praiser, He'll live in your heart. Amen. If you're a praiser, He'll live in your heart. But those that gaze, all they want to do is gaze. They'll simply just slide in, they'll slide out. They'll slide in, they'll slide out. They never want to get their spiritual hands dirty. They never want to get their spiritual hands dirty. They never want to roll up their spiritual sleeves and say, I'm ready to get in this. I'm ready to get in this tooth and nail. How many has ever heard that expression? It's time we get in it with both hands and both feet. It's time we get busy about the Father's busy. But I'm telling you, church, it's a lot more easier to step out and just gaze in, because you don't never get no smell on you. You don't ever have to sweat. You don't ever have to labor. But let me tell you what, we've got to do the will of the Father. We've got to start working, because time is running out. He said, pray to the laborer, the flavors, that He'll send laborers to the garden, because the field is wide unto the harvest. It's ready, Lord. It's ready to be picked. And it's time to that we get busy about thinking. We can't stand out there and look at that water mirror and imagine how good it's going to taste. It's time we get out there and start picking today. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, church, Jesus is coming. And He's coming after those that are looking. He's coming after those that are busy. He's coming after those that are working. He's coming after those that are striving to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall seek to enter in, and they shall not be able. Amen. Listen to this here, Luke chapter 18, verse 41. Saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight." Listen to this next part. "Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people that, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Amen. This is where we have messed up. How many didn't know they were blind until they got saved? You were spiritually blind. Everybody in here, before you got saved, you were spiritually blind. You could read the Bible. It didn't really mean a whole bunch to you. You didn't understand a lot of things. But once you got saved, you begin to see things clearly. You begin to realize things that you didn't realize. The Word began to open up to you, and you begin to understand things that you didn't understand before because you were spiritually blinded. This man was blinded. He said, "What will thou have me to do?" He said, "That I can receive my sight." And the Lord healed him. He received the sight. What did he do? He got up and began to praise God. And I'm telling you, church, once we get spiritual sight, once we get delivered from the blindness of this world, once we get saved and set free, you can see. I was once blind, but now I can see. But where is the praising God gone? What happened to that? He began to glorify God. I'm telling you, church, He longs for our prayers. He longs for our praises. He longs for somebody to say, "Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for what you've done." Amen. I know last Sunday was Easter. And if we're not careful, we get so caught up in the new tradition that we got nowadays. Amen. That we got to get a bunny rabbit out of a sack. We got to go hide an egg. Let me tell you what, it's time that we get things back in order. That He's still King of Kings. And He's still Lord of Lords. And His train still fills the temple to them that praise Him today. Amen. Amen, church. But we got to realize this. That He's coming. And He's coming is very close today. It might even be tonight. I don't know. But if He comes, all I'm telling you is I'm ready. But see, this man had a thankful heart about it. He began to praise God. He wasn't one that said, "I've shook the preacher's hand. I've walked up to the altar. I've become a member of this church. Now I'm going to go live my life to the fullest." No, sir. He had a thankful heart. You ever get to that point that you're not thankful that God saved you and delivered you? That heart has become hardened and it's calloused. It is no longer holding Jesus Christ in it because he cannot live in that hard heart. He cannot live in that calloused heart. He cannot live in that heart he cannot control. He will not live in that. But let me tell you, church, if you've got the praises in you, that heart will never come to the place that it gets so hard. But if you've got the praises in you, it'll always say, "Lord, I want you and I need more of you." But if all you want to do is stand out there and gaze, let me tell you what, when that devil comes and knocking at your door and that sickness comes and knocking at your door, all you can do is just cry out. But I want you to know, you'll find somebody that you know in this church. You'll find somebody that you got faith in that knows how to praise the Lord. They know how to praise the Lord when it's good. They know how to praise the Lord when it's bad. And that's the one you'll call on. Because church, that one that stands out there gazing, all he knows how to do is praise the Lord when things are good. Amen. Amen. Why do you think the Lord sometimes drags us through those trials He drags us through? He wants to see who we belong to. He wants to see where we're really going to sell out to Him. Are we really going to follow Him? Yes, we can follow Him when everything's going our way. But are you going to follow Him when things are going against you? Are you going to follow Him when your boat's being tossed back and forth? When everything in your life turned upside down? Are you going to follow Him then? I'm telling you what, there, Paul and Silas is there for an example for you and I. They was in jail. They was bound. But yet, Brother Charles, they begin to sing praises. And I wonder sometimes when we're bound, when we're held down, when we're put in that place, we can't feel like we can get up if we would begin to praise God if He wouldn't deliver. But yet, we hold our head down and say, "Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord?" It's time that we give praise to the one that deserves praise, and His name is Jesus today. Amen. Oh, church, we can either be a gazer or we can be a praiser. Let me tell you something. That devil's not fearful of those gazers. Amen. He's not fearful of them, Sister Alice. But he's fearful of them to come walking in the door. I got the victory. I got the victory. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. He's fearful of them. Brother Barr, he's fearful of them. They said, Lord, I love you. I thank you for this day. Amen. Even though they ain't got no gas in their car, they thanking you for this day. Even though the car may be broke down, they thanking you for this day. He's fearful of them. Why? Because they got things in order. They know that this life is nothing but temporal. It's going to pass away before long, and that life is waiting. It's eternal. And that's what matters, church. Where your treasures are, there your heart's going to be also. Put your treasures in heaven, and your heart's going to be there too. Amen. Oh, church, we got to have that thankful spirit. We got to have a thankful spirit about it. Listen. John chapter 12, verse 42 says, Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. What happened? They said this. They believed, but they did not confess him. The fear that they would be put out of the synagogue because they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. Church, I got news for you today. If you're visiting here and if you're in a church that you cannot praise the Lord because they want the praises of men more than they want the praises of the Lord, get out of that church because there's spiritual death in that church. I'm telling you, if you go to a church anywhere and they do not lift up Jesus Christ, He said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men into me. If they lift that pastor up, get out of that church. If they lift up that song leader, get out of that church. They've got to lift up Jesus Christ because He's the one that does the drawing. He's the one that draws because some people love the praises of men more than the praises of God. They love the praises of men. They love to have a pat on the back. Boy, I enjoyed that message this morning. I enjoyed that message this morning. But I tell you what, I usually get up here if I don't get. I enjoyed that message this morning. Oh, you stepped on my toes this morning. But let me tell you what, I step on my own toes all the time. But if that shoe fits, I'm telling you, for your spiritual strength, put that shoe on and wear it and trust in Jesus Christ, and He'll give you strength to fight another battle. Oh, let me tell you, church, we got to learn that we got to praise Him through the thick and the thin. Amen. We got to learn to praise Him through the thick and the thin. We had a little incident yesterday for old brother David Newell. Amen. He drove up right in the heat of it. Amen. Had two on the boat. They were spurred off out there. I don't know. I guess you might have drove up one other punched the other one. I don't know. But anyhow, he's used to it too. I mean, all of us been around these boats. I thought I was going to have to get in there referees during that part. Thought I was going to be part of it to start with. But anyhow, the Lord worked that out. Amen. Amen. But you know, you never know where you're going to confront a devil. You never know where you're going. Brother Carl met one at McDonald's. Amen. You never know where you're going to confront a devil. You never know. But I'm telling you one thing you do know. That greater is He that lives on the inside than he that's in this world. So therefore, we do not have to fear. Why? Because we know that Jesus is with us. I knew there was going to be a problem with this man before I got to the boat. And I done prayed and asked the Lord to give me the wisdom and asked me to help me through it. And you know what? He did. But I'm telling you one thing. I was prepared because I done talked to the man upstairs. And I knew whatever happened, I was going to be on top when it was all over with. Amen. And church, that's how we got to go through life. Amen. Brother Bob, if they bury me and I have to borrow somebody's clothes to put on me, you know what? It don't matter. But what matters is where I open my eyes at in eternity. That's what matters. If they bury you and they have to cover you up with nothing but a bed sheet and they can't find nobody to pay for the funeral, that don't matter at all. But what matters is where you spend eternity, where you open your eyes at in eternity. That's what matters. But yet, church, if we're not careful, that one that's always out there gazing and is always outside, almost getting in. I'm telling you, you cannot straddle the fence in the kingdom. Either you're in God or you're out. There is no in between. Either you're a praiser or you're simply just a gazer. But I'm telling you today, there's power in praising the Lord. And I tell you, He inhabits the praise of His people. Amen. He inhabits the praise of His people. Amen. You know what? He knows who His children are. Amen. He knows exactly who His children are. Oh, let me tell you. Amen. That man that received that sign, he said, thy faith has saved him. Thy faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You can turn over in Hebrews chapter 11 and read that whole chapter. It's on faith. It's on faith. It's on faith. And Abraham, he had that knife up there, fixing to sacrifice Isaac. You know what happened? Little Isaac said, "Daddy, we got the wood. We got the fire. Daddy, where's the sacrifice?" Was he a gazer or was he a praiser? The Lord will provide. When he began to strap and bind him up to lay him on that altar, the angel saved his hand. There was a ram caught in the thicket. What did he say? "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide." Oh, I tell you, those men that went with him, that he made stop before he got up to the top of that mountain, they were gazing up there. They was wondering what was taking place because they had the wood, they had the fire, but they did not have a sacrifice. Just him and little Isaac went up there. But let me tell you what, church, you may feel like sometime that you're the one that's going to be sacrificed. But let me tell you what, spiritually, you are going to be sacrificed because there's no flesh going to glory in His presence. But I want you to know, if you're one that's appraising the Lord, He will provide and He will make a way. And I tell you, church, when you find yourself going through that valley, let me tell you what, there's no valleys without mountains on each side. Oh, let me tell you what, don't say, "Lord, get me out of this valley," but say, "Lord, give me strength to climb this mountain. Because I know at the top of that mountain there's victory, and I know that victory can only come through you." And I tell you, I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to be one that gets involved. Why? Because I'm not going to be a gazer. I'm going to be a praiser. Oh, church. Society has created through man compromising and man infiltrating in the church realm today, it has created a body of gazers. I'll prove this. And when I say this, you will agree with me 100%. You find the large mega church. A lot of people go to those churches for the preaching. A lot of them got great preachers, great men of God. But some go there because of the beauty. Some go there because of the prestige of being involved in such a great church. Some go there simply because they want to get away from having to go to a smaller church in which they will have to work. Let me tell you, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You may crawl in a corner, you may hide, you may try to hide in the crowd, you may try to get in there and become a gazer, but let me tell you, there is spiritual death in becoming a gazer. Amen. You've got to do what the Lord has laid in your heart. You've got to do what the Lord has laid in your heart. I'm telling you what, He may make a donkey speak out for you, but He requires it. If He gives it to you, He's required it. And therefore, we must do what the Lord has laid in our heart. But society has created a body of gazers. Amen. But you know what happens? Some that are in this situation, that are in a place of ease and comfort, when sickness knocks on their door, yes, they tell the large, nice church that they're simply hiding in. Yes, they tell them for prayer. But you know what, Brother Sexton? They also pick up that phone, or they go knock on a door of somebody they know that's in the trenches. Somebody they know that spiritually they roll their sleeves up and they're ready to fight. Why? Because they are convicted and they know what it means to get back to business. And church, let me tell you, if we're not careful right here in this building, when we was in the little building, we was fighting, trying to get in this building. They would not give us a permit to get in here. We could not even dig the footer. Amen. And we gathered out there in that circle that Sunday night there, the Lord laid on my heart and said, "You have not thanked me for what I'm going to do." And I got in the middle of that circle. Brother Doug went and got that shovel. They would not give us a permit to start on this church. We couldn't dig the footer. We couldn't do nothing. And I took that shovel in that door. Dirt. It began to rain. But that did not discourage them because it'll rain on your parade, church. We threw that dirt up there and we began to thank the Lord for what He was going to do. You know what happened? That very following week, they give us a permit. We dug the footer. Why? Because we begin to praise the Lord. But as long as we just stood out there and begin to gaze and imagine what it's going to be like, nothing will ever happen. But when you begin to praise Him, I'm telling you, the band will fall off. I'm telling you, the jail cell will open up. The door will open. And you can come out and give God victory over it. But church, the devil will get us to that place that we're just gazing. Amen. Amen. You might say, "Brother Nick, you're a hard preacher." Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach it like He lays it in my heart. Amen. because I don't want to get up there in heaven and he say, listen here, you preached a little too hard. You didn't have to preach that hard. That's all right. But I don't want to hear him say this. You didn't preach it hard enough, and because you didn't, this one's not here. This one's not here. But let me tell you what, church, if God's word conviction, it's there for a reason. It's to convict us and to get our feet upon that rock. Oh, let me tell you. There was a lot of spectators around that cross that day. Amen. Disciples included. Preached last Sunday morning. All four Gospels. Who was the first to see? Mary Magdalene, on which he had cast out seven demons. Amen. Amen. Which he might have went with spices. Amen. I preached on that. He went according to his death. We can't live after that death. We got to live after the resurrection. Amen. But she was the first there, Sister Alice. Where much is given, much is required. And I feel like the Lord has given us much. He has given us much. So therefore, Brother Charles, we can't stand on the sidelines. Okay. No, sir. It don't matter how old you are. Amen. No excuse. It don't matter how young you are. If you're able to pray for somebody, get somebody in your heart and pray for them. Amen. If you're able to lay hands on somebody when you feel like you need to pray for them, lay hands on them. Amen. If the Lord lays a burden on your heart to pray for Sister Alice and you can't walk, you say, Sister Alice, come on over here and bend down and lay that hand on them. Why? Because, church, we have got to get busy because Jesus is coming, and he's coming after a body without spot or blemish. He's coming after a body of believers who have got the goods, and that's them that sold out to Jesus Christ. That's not them that's standing on the sidelines and looking, but that's them that's in the trenches of fighting, saying, hey, we know that the battle's there, but we know who we belong to. Amen. Amen. Church, with every head bowed and every eye closed, look on the inside. Are you a gazer today? Just gazing?